Welcome back, Fire Tribe. Monday, May 12th. Two games away from the end of the season. We're almost there. We've almost made it. Not super exciting at the top of the table. Liverpool's locked it up. But those other spots, man, not one team is locked into the UCL yet, which is kind of crazy. But another weird week, FPL-wise.
Yeah.
Another weird week. Last week, we talked about the team of the week featured players were guys like Cody and Vardy and Garnacho. Mm-hmm. This week, you got the likes of Ramsdale, Wan-Bissaka, Socek. But our boy, Kevin Schade, made it both weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's killing it.
Love it.
You could say he's on fire. You could say that. Would you say that?
I think that's accurate.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave, for giving me a little bit of support there.
I like that. Right. I like that the top team of the week used my boy Morgan Gibbs-White.
Costco
for no reason because he's been terrible.
That's five big booms, baby. Five big. It was a nice header though. If you watched, watched the game,
it was that
a nice
header from him. That was.
Yeah. Okay. So recap today. We're gonna do a recap, but then we're gonna do a little talk on the triple captain strategy. In general, the strategy, and then going into these last 2 weeks for anyone who has that chip left, who to use it on. But let's start with the recap of some of these big games this week. So Liverpool, Arsenal, 2-2. Interesting game, but what I really want to talk about is Salah has two returns in his last seven games. I think could we all just say the slump's clearly a real thing? It's happening. It happened. Liverpool has won the league, and they kind of took the foot off the gas, and 70% of managers are probably pissed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, good on Arsenal, I guess. That was a good tie for them. But I just, man.
Look, no one is immune to regression.
No, of course not.
There's one thing I know about numbers is that they don't lie. Unless you want them to lie, and then they lie.
I thought numbers were supposed to go up forever, though. I thought they never came back down.
Mm. No. Actually, no, Sean.
It is. I mean, just what, 3-4 weeks ago, we were talking, maybe a little longer, 5 weeks ago, we were talking about Salah potentially breaking De Bruyne's scoring record or De Bruyne's assist record and Haaland's scoring record in the same season. We are far from that conversation at this point. So a lot can happen in a couple weeks, man.
One goal in his last seven games. Didn't see that one coming, but
that hurts. And that next game, I mean, we mentioned it, Brighton. With their defenders healthy is no easy matchup.
Like, no.
I'm sure they'll win next week, I would think. But
I would honestly, we'll talk about it later, but I would honestly say Brighton could be a sneaky differential pick for next week, some of their players, because I don't think Liverpool's going to come out trying too hard. So, their way.
It is Brighton. A way. Yeah, it's at Brighton. Yeah.
So, could be interesting. But stay tuned for that episode because we're not going to talk about that one in this one.
We're not.
All right. But yeah, anything else for Liverpool and Arsenal?
No, I thought the game was like kind of over. This Liverpool looked great in the first half. Yeah. And then Arsenal showed some guts to push back like that in the second half and then hold on after Mourinho got sent off.
I was going
to
say, give Mourinho some credit, though. The guy got thrown into a tough spot. And yes, he has not been an all-star, but he has filled in big moments for them and got some big goals, UCL and EPL. Give the guy some credit, man. I think going into next year when they finally get, I don't know who they're going to get. I mean, Havertz is their forward, but he's not a natural forward. I mean, Mikel, if he can get put back into his normal spot, I'm interested in that midfield.
Yeah.
So,
did you guys think that was or Andy Robinson should have gotten a red card?
I mean, I want to say no, but also, like, he gets a lot of fouls, like a lot of yellow cards. He always teeters on that. I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it was a red card.
I don't think so either.
If you slow it down on VAR, it's like red. No, he didn't get it. Mourinho did.
I know. Was it a straight red? Oh, yeah. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
Was it a straight red, though?
On Mourinho?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone was claiming that Robertson should have gotten a red card for, like, kind of throwing Saka by the throat or face or whatever. But I feel like VAR and slowing it down has made those situations so much worse because, yeah, it's hands to the face, it's aggression or intent, whatever they want to call it.
Flag on the play, hands to the face.
But he's not hurting anyone. It's nothing too aggressive. And I'm glad he didn't get a red card for that because
Yeah, I agree with that. I was glad he didn't get sent off. It was borderline.
If you
review every situation like that, it's like when they review when like people like, you know, headbutt each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, they did headbutt each other. So yeah I was glad he didn't get sent off.
Going back to Cunha on that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you're pulling
He
out.
Deserved it. Let's be clear all about right. that.
I think we're pretty clear on that game.
Yeah, so should we talk about City versus Southampton?
You mean the game where nothing happened?
Yeah. Most boring game of the year.
Yeah, boring game when probably 100% of managers had either Marmoush or Alonso.
Yeah. I think my takeaway from that one was City's defense is probably the only consistent asset you can probably count on for the next two game weeks. Yes, Alonso played 90 minutes, and if you get rid of Salah, he's obviously the only option to bring in, but I don't think you can really count on anyone. Kevin De Bruyne again gets a couple returns a few weeks ago and now blanks for two in a row, so I don't think you can really trust any City offensive guy to get you much. But Gvardiol, Ruben Dias, we talked about them last week, great options, and I think they should be on your team, whether it's them or Ederson, over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, my worry is, like, looking forward a little bit to next season. Haaland came back in, that's fine, but they went out and bought Marmoush. I think probably a little of that buy was part of the fact that Haaland was injured or, you know, coming in and out of the lineup. Was he injured at the time they bought in January?
Who?
Haaland. Was Haaland injured when they bought Marmoush?
Because
where I'm going with this conversation is they went out and spent money to get Marmoush, who was a really good player at Frankfurt. How are they going to deploy these two next season? They play similar spots. They don't seem
probably
like
Marmoush on the left.
Yeah, or think? Number 10.
Do you think they fit well together as the next club, you think?
I don't think we know that yet.
I know we don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I'll trust Pep to figure that part out.
Yeah. Well, he didn't figure it out this season with other pieces.
They don't have a clear, like, best, like, attacking three behind Haaland right now. I'll give you that one. Like, I don't know who their best three is and what positions they should be in for next year.
We said it earlier on, City right now, they don't know what they're playing or how they're playing or who they're playing.
Like, wait, who they got today?
Playing Richmond today.
Yeah, when you're looking at their starting 11, there's a lot of guys that aren't going to be there next year. And again, we talked about it earlier on this season. This is a transition year for them. So I don't even know if Silva's going to be there next year. De Bruyne is not going to be there next year. Grealish, I don't even know if he's going to be an starting option for City, if he's going to get transferred away. So I think Marmoush is a really good buy for them. He's going to play a big role going into next season. But to your point, Dave, and what you were saying is how does Pep fit all those pieces together and find that starting 11? Because this year it's just been chaos.
Might be a situation where if you want to pay up for Haaland, you get him. But Marmoush might be a nice, cheap way to get a part of the offense, especially with a couple players that they're bringing in. I don't want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it another time. But with a new midfielder they're bringing in from a team that I really like, they could have another high-powered offensive year.
Ooh. Doku, Mr. X, Marmoush, and Haaland.
Right behind them could be Florian Wirtz and Rodri.
How's Mr. X that we're not talking
about? What about Phil Foden?
They might play him in there, Phil Foden. They might. We'll see how they play him. He might put him out wide. He might put him in the mid.
Again.
That's what I'm saying. So, all right. So we'll see. But yeah, that was a tough game for everyone. That's the good news.
Yeah, De Bruyne did have 1.18 goal involvements. So there were the expected numbers were still there, but you can't possibly feel comfortable using him this coming week.
No, he's not on that like Bowen level, Eze level where you almost expect something out of him. You're kind of hoping to get something out of him right now.
You know what I do want to talk about though is the game where nobody was supposed to score.
Oh man,
Forest and Leicester, but both teams did score multiple times.
Yep, and we
Jamie Vardy.
Vardy party.
The honorable mention for the star, for the hero.
He didn't score though, but
I thought he did for some reason.
No.
Was that 2 weeks ago he scored?
2 weeks ago he scored.
Yeah, when Sean went insane and recommended all the Leicester guys.
That's what, yeah.
Or the Southampton guys.
So, I mean, let's just start.
Oh, Cody scored again, right?
Cody scored, yeah. So let's just start from the beginning. No, I'm just saying, like, because the end of the game is what I really want to get to, conversation-wise. But, yeah, 2-2, Forest impenetrable defense they used to have is gone. They are
just, I don't think so anymore,
struggling. They don't have a shutout in six straight games. They haven't won in their last six games either, I don't
once
think.
they beat Tottenham
correct. They have one win in their last six, yeah, but zero shutouts in that,
like,
time.
I said regression comes for everyone.
It's a bad look. We ended up getting Sells, so it was unfortunate for us. I think a lot of managers went and got Aina though, or Michael Anko, so unfortunate for them as well. Did you see the, I don't know if you guys saw the second goal for Leicester? I mean, it was just sums up what Forest has been for, you know, the last 6 weeks, basically. The two defenders, or the two Forest players run into each other, mm-hmm. ball gets loose. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. It's like Buonanotte picks it up, credit to him. He puts a nice move on Morato, who he absolutely torched right out, right in the box. And he scored. I mean, it was like a bad goal to give up. It didn't look like a defense that 5-10 weeks ago we were talking about being up there with Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah.
But what I want to talk about is the owner, which was crazy. I was telling you guys earlier, that man, I don't know for anyone out there who saw it. I saw it on Instagram. It was like, I don't know how big of news it was, like, in Europe or in the UK, but saw it on a reel from, like, a faraway distance. Owner gets on the field. He's fuming mad. He gets into it with Nuno, and then he kicks something, and then he marches off the field. I mean, this team's not going to win another game, right? There's no
little tizzy fit.
I mean, they do play the fighting Jared Bowens next, so.
I don't think Forrest, you can mark my words now. After that game, all the players' heads were down. The owner's on the field arguing with his coach. Like, they're chocked. I don't think they get another win.
Well, we looked at Forest's calendar and we're like, it would be a disaster if they don't make the top four.
It's not. Yeah, there's
no issues week after week, and now they're in seventh.
It's a disaster.
It's crazy.
They absolutely collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, do we blame Nuno? Like, who do we blame?
I don't think so. No, I think they have a good team. Like, they have a good squad, but I don't think, like, anybody would have picked them to finish in the European places at the start of the year. So, like, they definitely overachieved.
Yeah.
And we've seen Nuno do that with, you know, when he used to coach Wolves in the past. Those teams were always a pain to play against. So,
yeah. You said it all year.
Valencia, too.
Dave, you called it all year. You said at some point, the lack of involvement numbers, the lack of offense.
Yeah.
Like, opportunities, it's going to catch up. You can't keep scoring one goal.
You can only score against the run of play so many times.
So many times. And, yeah, I mean.
I thought it was going to happen before, like, the last four games of the season, but still.
I mean, Wood got a goal. Good for him. It was actually a really freaking nice
header. It was nice.
That header? Was it Cahill or was it? Remember in that World Cup? It was either Cahill or was a Dutch player.
Van Persie?
It might have been the Van Persie one. Got that diving header. Yeah,
the flying header.
Was better than this, but it gave me some of that feel. He went full, like, superhero.
Do you know who that was against? Van Persie's?
Let me guess. Was it an African team? Was it South Africa?
Maybe.
I feel like it. No, was it Ghana?
No.
Do you know who it was? I don't know. Who was it?
Do you know?
I forget.
It was a 2010 Spain. South Africa Cup, right?
We probably could have predicted that
Spain.
It was Spain.
That would have been
based on who
it wasn't 2010.
Context clues.
2014.
So it was the one after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that goal was freaking amazing. I just I thought that was seeing when you see that happen, it's a chalk team right now. Again, I'll say it again. I don't think they're going to win another game to end the season. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can't pick up, you know, Gibbs White or maybe Wood. Like, the offense may still get goals. I just don't foresee them winning games, make it ties, but I don't foresee things happening. The last game, and the only reason I'm calling this one out, or I want to call this one out, is because we called this out last week. If you were here and you were watching, you heard us.
You heard.
And it probably went well for you. We said Cunha is good. We know Cunha's good. Wolves was winning games against very poor competition, right? True. They have now lost two in a row. But not just that, Brighton. People were looking at Brighton like just a terrible team because they went on that run. Fair enough. Their defense was eviscerated during that run. Their defense is back now, and what we said is it's not an easy matchup anymore. They were a great defense before they had all the injuries. They're back to being great defense. What happened? They won 2-0. Shut Wolves out. Cunha disappointed a lot of managers. And, I mean, you know, not to toot our horn, but that's kind of where we felt that game was probably going to go. So, I mean, do you guys think, I mean, let's just say, Wolves, would you take a Wolves player to end the season?
Yeah.
Do you think they are still good? Because I think they're pretty – I don't want any of them. I think they're really weak right now.
I think they play Palace, who are playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're, like, concerned about that matchup. And then they finish the season with Brentford at home, who you can score on Brentford. So I think if you're sitting there with Cunha, you're bummed about this past week. He only played 58 minutes. I don't think you're getting rid of him. Put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to spend a transfer, but I'm also not going to spend a transfer on bringing him in. I personally, this is a personal opinion for me, but I'm out on Wolves to end the season. I think that run they had was amazing. They did what they had to do to get out of relegation. I think they're similar to Forest. Like, I could see them not winning another game as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Cunha would be the only person I would use. I don't think I would feel good about using Ait Nori. Excuse me. So yeah, if you have Cunha, you probably stick with him, but. You're probably not rushing out to buy them like you were like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it.
On the flip side, what's Brighton's end of the year schedule? Because now I'm kind of...
Let me check.
They play Liverpool next week.
So I had Verbruggen on my own team, right? So that was nice for me. I played him. He had that shutout. So they get Tottenham in game week 38. Would you take a Brighton defender and or Verbruggen in game week 38, knowing how this defense has been playing recently?
I'm not, but I'm looking at some of their offensive players.
Are you?
Yeah.
Which ones? João Pedro, Matoma? Would you even go to the Welbeck?
Matoma.
The Welbeck well?
I would not on Matoma. He hasn't been starting.
He's been dealing with an injury for a while.
Yeah,
really
but he's
time.
Supposed
yeah.
to be back this week against Liverpool.
He is back. He keeps coming in and out of that.
He keeps coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I think Welbeck would probably be the one. Or Yacuba Minte. But...
Oh, João Pedro's been suspended, correct?
Yeah, three-game suspension.
I believe he's back. He's eligible to come back next
three games he was out, so he is coming back now.
If I'm going for a defender, you always could go Stupinian. But I just think, obviously, Tottenham, they're not thinking about the league, and same with Liverpool.
Which is why I'm interested in Tottenham not trying super... When is the final?
It's 4 days after they lose to Man United in the Europa League final.
That's what I'm talking about. When is the Europa League?
The 21st.
So their game's after.
Yeah. After.
So
they're going to be down in the dumps. Probably fire Ainge before the game.
I don't know, man. Coach,
I don't think it changes much.
Manager came out and said all he does is win trophies.
All right, Ainge. In Scotland.
I'm not excited about a Brighton defender against Tottenham away in the last game of the season.
Okay.
They're either hyped because they just won or they're trying to give the fans one more thing to cheer for. So that's the only reason I would be a little hesitant. But, again, it's two really good matchups. And, yeah, I think Brent's an interesting team to look at for the last two game weeks.
All right.
I agree with you.
I think those are the big games we wanted to touch on. You know, other games were good, but those are the ones that kind of mean the most to us in FPL.
Yeah.
So let's get to the good stuff.
Let's get to the good stuff. And if you don't mind, I think we want to talk about triple captain strategy because
Phil, I don't mind. I actually
you want to
I'm
do
excited.
That?
I prefer it.
I'm excited for that
because obviously I think we've used all our chips now.
We have
we're
used
out
all
of
our
chips.
We're out of chips.
We did.
Triple captain with Wisa this week.
Messed it up.
But if you are someone who still has a triple captain, there are interesting games coming up.
Yeah.
And not necessarily for forwards. Maybe you could pick a defensive asset and bank on that clean sheet to get the return.
That's
so,
the point.
So, Sean,
that's
you seem very excited and interested
that's
to talk
point.
About this. So tell us what you think a good triple captain strategy should be for week 37 or 38.
That was really, I love that from you. Yeah, you talked for like a minute straight without breathing. Thought you were going to pass out. No. I think for us three, what we've talked about all season, I think we see two distinct strategies that you can use for a triple captain. First strategy is the much more popular one. It's the one that most people do. Look for a forward who's in form or has an easy matchup or a midfielder. Bank on the ceiling. Hope that they get a goal. And you get a bunch of points, right? That's probably the strategy that most people go for. But there's the second strategy I think that I am more interested in a lot of the time is the floor play, right? Find a defender like last week, Gvardiol, right? He was playing Southampton. Southampton is a historically bad team. You almost assume they're going to get a shutout in that game. You didn't assume they weren't going to score, but you assume they were going to get a shutout. You put the triple captain on Gvardiol. You take 18 minimum, and if he gets bonus points, you get some more out of it, right? So it's like the conversation is, do you take a floor in a shutout, or do you take a ceiling in an offensive player? And obviously, the, you know, without context, you take the ceiling. But when you're talking about someone scoring, it's, unless you're having a Salah-type run earlier in the season, like, you can think someone's going to score, but you're just betting. Versus, I think there's a lot to say that City versus Southampton, there's a lot to say that they're probably going to get a shutout, right? Versus, we thought Wiese was going to get a goal, he didn't. Like, that happens all the time. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, I think going forward in my future seasons, I'm probably going to employ the defensive strategy. I kind of like it. The floor strategy.
I have three thoughts, but...
No.
Three?
Go ahead.
Oh, is that because it's a triple cap?
That is.
Yeah.
One for each multiple.
Trip thoughts.
Trip. Go ahead. But only give them if you agree with me.
I get what you're saying, and I respect it.
I appreciate you for respecting
it. That's the first thing I'm going to say.
He's setting it up nice before he eviscerates
me. Just looking at stats, you're never going to... Well, we did it because Wiese has been on fire, and I guess he scored, like, what, 15, 16 goals this season?
Mm-hmm. He had a good... Yeah.
If you look at teams getting clean sheets versus top scorers scoring goals... Stats will tell you that there's higher chance of the forward scoring than a team getting a clean sheet.
I agree, but if I'm focusing on one team in a week to get a shutout, like I'm focused on Man City versus there might be six forwards. Yeah, I mean, you have to pick between those six then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, just separating it, like, this forward scored 18 goals this season. He has higher rate of scoring a goal.
Versus Man City, a team getting a clean sheet. The most clean sheets this year, I think it's like 14 or 16, something in that range from Liverpool. Fair enough, that's not even a 50% rate.
Yeah.
First, you're saying if someone has 20 goals on the season, they're scoring a goal over 50% of the time. That's a fair, I don't disagree with that.
And I think the other main point is you probably don't triple captain someone that's not a top three, four goal scorer of the year. And I wouldn't waste my chip counting on a clean sheet, ultimately. That's...
I wouldn't call it a waste, but I get your point.
No, because, yeah, if we had triple captain Gvardiol, we would be jumping off a bridge right now in celebration.
Be great, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of...
Couple things. I do lean towards Phil's line of thinking.
I knew you both would.
I think a couple things played into maybe you having this mindset is that, like, number one, I think people usually target double game weeks to use their triple captain, so it makes...
Also true.
That makes the matchups a little less important if you're going to captain, like, Salah, Isak, Haaland, you know, one of the typical captain players. Yeah. And that...
Yeah.
We were kind of hoping that we'd get one more double game week. Didn't get it. Yep. And that's whatever. But I think the assumption, like, talking about the safe floor is, like... not a fair assumption, because if saying a team with a good matchup is safe to get a shutout, I don't think the numbers would back that up, both, like, statistically and just anecdotally. Like Arsenal, for example. Like, how many times this year were we super confident on Arsenal players and them getting a shutout and they didn't do it?
Right.
So I just think making the assumption that a team is going to get a shutout is an assumption that I don't think it's a safe one. And I just, as an example, I was looking at Isak's game log and, like, how many games did Alexander Isak not score this year? It is 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 times is one game he was injured, 16 times out of 35 games he has played in that he did not score. And that's not even counting... I didn't count assists in that. So there are games where he didn't score and got an assist. And so the number is less than 16. And so I think, like, chasing the upside is the right play. Because if someone scores, whether it's a forward or midfielder, that's pretty much going to outdo what you would get from the defender.
Sure.
And obviously, like, usually you're going to triple captain a stud, like, you know, like the guys I just mentioned, and you're hoping for like more than one return. So I just think, the floors for both of them are pretty equal. So I don't necessarily think captaining, you know, a Man City defender against like Southampton is safer than captaining like Isak against Everton.
I get what you're saying, and I understand where you're coming at with those numbers, but like, what if we're looking at a team like Leicester, right? A team that won a 10-game streak without scoring a goal. And you can almost, you can't guarantee anything in this life, but you can very, very heavily weigh on the fact that they hadn't scored in 10 games and say,
sure,
let me get 18 almost free points, right? Southampton, it's another, now these are probably, you can call them fringe cases, right? They're not the norm. Southampton was almost the worst ever EPL team before that tie.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. I get that. But when you see that and you're like, oh, yeah, I could take. So I think point is you can go either way. I fully understand where you guys are coming from. To your point, a lot of it's situational as well. If it's a double game week, then you should definitely be doing that, of course. If you're someone who really needs points, go with the ceiling. Maybe you're someone who's way ahead and you're like, I just want to try and bank on 18. A lot of situational stuff. But, I mean, I don't gamble really at all. I mean, you could consider this gambling, I guess, without the money.
It's,
I mean,
a form of
if you're in a league, right? But I'm not a big gambler in terms of like going to casino, sports gambling.
Let's see that FanDuel account.
Yeah, I'll open that up.
Yeah,
it's gonna be lower than yours. I promise you that.
I don't know.
Lower winnings.
I haven't placed
the
bet in like 2 years.
See, so you're like me. So my point is, I like to play the safe game sometimes. Like, I just like the whole. That's just it's something I'm gonna continue to develop. I'm gonna keep developing it going in the next year. I want to see, like, you know, myself, I'll test it. What if I would have done it here? What if I would have done it there? You know?
It's a fair point.
The one thing I will give you is that there are certain weeks where, like last week, there isn't really a good matchup for a forward.
Yeah.
Or the stud forwards are hurt, where picking a defender probably is potentially a smarter play if you're in a pickle like we were with a triple captain. Mm-hmm. So that's where I could see that coming into play. But I still lean on the upside.
The situation I think I would more strongly consider is if you have a defender that has, like, consistently is a threat attacking-wise.
Like
Trent, Guardiola early in the season, Danny Munoz, even though...
Ainori,
even though, like... But, like, Palace and Wolves aren't, like, really great defensive teams. But, like, if you have a Liverpool and, you know, Trent's healthy and in form... I could see that if they have a great matchup at home, because there's a little bit more likely that somebody like Trent or Munoz gets you an attacking return too.
Yeah.
So then I think I could get on board more with it.
All right. Well, those are our two strategies. I think kind of they're not anything crazy, but yeah, well, I mean, we're going to keep working on them. We're going to see what works, but let's just talk about the best options then. Since we've just talked about the strategies, 2 weeks left in the season, probably not a lot of triple captain chips left, but if you do have them, who are the best options left to use those triple captains on? I can start.
No, can I start? Because this is hilarious.
Absolutely, you can.
I think Mikalenko is an interesting
That option. Was going to be All my right. pick.
All right.
Mikalenko. That's exactly what I was going to do. Exactly what I was going to do.
That's a fun-ass choice.
Right, I didn't know.
Yes. Thank you.
No, you lived in crazy town, Phil.
Thank you.
I thought this was Robinson.
Tarkowski's hurt. Mikalenko is the next immediate best defender on Everton. 7th in clean sheets this year. They have 10. Could be a sneaky pick.
Good sneaky. I don't mind.
Sneaky's one word.
My other guy would be
sneaky's one word.
He did score last week.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Ollie Watkins.
That was my number one guy.
Damn, I took both of your guys. Sorry, I'll shut up.
Why are we even here?
You didn't take my guy. Trust me. But
trust me.
Yeah, Watkins was going to be my number one guy, and I know I've said in the last at least two shows how bad Tottenham's defense is when they don't play one of the three teams getting relegated.
Yes.
They just gave up multiple goals again to Crystal Palace. So yeah. Watkins is a bit more informed now, scored last game, no more Rashford to take his minutes. He's probably probably one of my favorite ones.
You're talking that's against against Tottenham, so that's this week.
At home, yeah. So, and Tottenham's not going to care about this game because they got to get ready to lose to Man United in the Europa League final. Yeah.
The shit you are talking.
Glory, glory, Man United.
They're ready to back that up.
I think an honorable mention is Bowen.
Has to be.
Every week, man.
Bowen's been on fire. They get Ipswich in game week 28. I'm assuming that's the game week you're talking about. The last week of the season. For Bowen?
38.
Yeah, and Forest at home. I don't
yeah, know. I mean, Forest, again, we just talked about they've proven that they're not the team they were early in the season. But I think
if you're going to pick Bowen, you're going to go Ipswich.
He's 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 4 games. He's on fire again. He's the midfielder who gets to play forward. So you kind of get a nice best of both worlds there with a cheaper player.
I feel like for every goal he scored, he loses some hair. So if he keeps it up, he's... He's going to be running that bald look.
He reminds me of like just a so much better, you may not get this reference, Brendan Aaronson. He just runs around and around and around and he just continues.
That is not the name I expected to come out of your mouth.
That's the best one I had. A guy who, Brendan Aaronson is not very good, but he's just put on the field sometimes to just absolutely harass people. And Bowen does that in a much better way. He works really hard. Yes. All over them. So far, what we got? We got Bowen. We love Bowen in game week 38. Like Watkins this week because Tottenham, one, isn't very good on defense. Two, they're going to be really getting ramped up for that Europa League final. Mikolenko is kind of a wild, little more outlandish differential pick. Their best defender is out, so he is immediately the best defender on that team, and they have 10 clean sheets in the season. They're a solid defensive team. You could get the floor of 18 points there. You could get it. I think if we're going to stick on the Everton train, Beto, 2 straight returns. He's averaging 0.5 expected involvement in those 2 games. I think he, again, definitely a differential guy because I'm not going to sit here and think that Beto's going to score 3 games in a row. But playing Southampton, there's a good chance it could happen. I mean, I don't know. Are you disagreeing on Beto?
I just think there's better options. Yeah. But it's a good matchup, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Great matchup. Although, they did just shut out Man City, so.
True.
You know, and then I think the other one I have, and you guys can give if you have more, but Arsenal game week 28 is very interesting. Game week 28 next year. Next season. No. Arsenal game week 38. My problem is I love the matchup. Not sure who I would triple captain. I think Saka would be the obvious choice. But, I mean, Marino has been scoring goals. Trossard is good. You could, again, go with the shutout pick. Maybe you go with Saliba. I'm not sure I trust Arsenal at all this year to get a shutout. Maybe
we've been down that road. You're just asking for more pain.
You are asking. I love the pain.
You triple captain an Arsenal defender.
I love the pain.
You know that Paul Onuachu is scoring in like the 89th minute to ruin it.
Yeah, okay. So probably
their second, 0.03 their second attempted goals. Shot of the game.
Unless you want to sweat for 90 straight minutes, maybe don't pick Saliba or Raya. But, I mean, for that matchup, Saka. I think Trossard is a decent option too. I think again, Marino's not bad.
I could see that game being
Marino's not going to play
0-0.
You don't think Marino's going to play?
Well, he got a red card, so he won't be allowed. Yep. Based on the current rules.
Oh yeah.
Trigger.
You make fair points. Don't take Mikel Marino.
Does that? What? Does the German league do that?
I know. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you.
No, the Spanish league doesn't.
3-game suspension for a red, is that what you're
straight
asking
red.
Me?
If it's straight a straight red, it's 3.
Let's find out.
I have 2 more while you look that up.
Go for it.
Do it.
I think Eberechi Eze.
They play
Wolves at home. He has 4 goals in his last 3.
On PKs.
I've been saying all year that he was going to start scoring, and he really made me wait until the very end.
Yeah, I can do that too. Oh, I could say every week, hey, man, this guy's going to get a goal. If I did that every week, I'd eventually be right, Dave. So maybe. Good for you.
Damn. Not if you picked, like, a Man United forward.
Also true.
I have another one. I think Erling Haaland should be considered as...
They play
Bournemouth and Fulham. He played 90 minutes.
Didn't look good, though.
They're out of all of their other... I mean, they have the FA Cup final.
I mean, it's not bad. I don't think he'd be my number one pick.
He wouldn't be my number one, but if you could use Erling Haaland as a potential in a differential kind of way.
Yeah. It's weird to say that. but it's true.
But it was just a thought I had since we said last week, like, let's ride with Marmoush one more week because we don't know. Like, we were assuming they weren't going to start and play Hall in 90 minutes, so of course they did. That was the only other thought I had.
One game ban. It appears it's a one game ban.
Yeah, I think only the EPL does that. But yeah, Haaland's a good shout. So.
Haaland's an interesting one. I personally would avoid it. He came back and he didn't look all that threatening in that game. So I'm not sure I'd want to put my money on him right now. Plus, if you have him, fair. If you don't have him, got to fit him in. So you'd have to get rid of Salah, I would assume. So they got to do a little rework of your team. But yeah, I don't hate that, Dave. I don't hate that. All right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
let's finish this up. A lot of options. Let's finish it up.
Our star.
Team result. Another average week, I would say. It's an average week. Dave, can you tell everyone how we finished?
Well, technically above average because we had 54 and the average was 43.
We never finished below the average, so that's good news.
This guy doesn't understand.
I wish my wife told me I was above average every week.
Well,
she tells me that.
If you were 20% above average, she would definitely tell you that every week. I'm going to start at the front since we just mentioned Omar Marmoush. We did play him. First of all, we had 54 points. I already said that. And we did triple captain Johan Wiese, who was on fire, played at Twitch, got a yellow card, didn't score. So he had 3 points. So it didn't really work out.
I did throw out Guardiola as a secondary option. I didn't push too hard, but I did throw it out.
Hindsight
is 2020.
You're right, Captain. Captain. Go ahead. Freaking defense over here. Holly Watkins did have a nice goal for us for 9 points. Bowen 8 as he continues his hot run. Gerard or Jared, whichever Bowen brother you prefer. Yeah. Jacob Murphy 5. Morgan Rogers 6. Mo Salah 2.
Yeah.
Only one goal, one assist in his last 7 games.
We didn't captain him, so that's a win for
us. He's also owned by 70% of managers, so you know, it is what it is with that one.
I want to sell him for Haaland. Well, you'd have to make 2 transfers then. Anyway, the back line, Van Dijk 1, Guardiola 6, Sean's favorite player, and Danny Munoz with 11.
Great game for Munoz. That's a great bounce back.
And Matt Sells in net with 2.
We made a trade for him too,
We did bring in Sells because we didn't realize Forest defense wasn't good anymore.
Yeah, well, now we know. But now we know. Lesson learned.
That's
okay. You live and you learn.
Again, that all ended up with 54 points, just over the 2 million mark in rank. So, you know, top half of the table finish this week.
That's a game week rank, by the way. That's not overall.
Game week rank.
Yeah. Not the overall rank, but
I don't know what our overall rank is. I'm not going to look. Yeah. We did leave Ismail Assar on the bench, who scored. But, yeah, other than that, I think we got the most out of this week we could.
It was a solid week. Again, it all goes back to our double game week, right? We're still trying to move players around from the team we put together from that. I think we learned a bit of a lesson in how to approach after double game weeks like that. So we live and we learn. We're excited for the next week. 2 more games left, but we are out of here.
We'll be good for game week 39.
Game week 39, when that one comes around. So we're out of here. We're out of here. Find us on X. Find us on Instagram. Listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate it. Love hearing from everybody. It really helps us out. And yeah, I think with that,
see you.
See you.
Bye.